Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
It's so great to be in the presence of the Lord and to be able to pray and to be encouraged by communion and the worship. And I can't wait at the same time till we're back together and we're worshiping as a body at the different campuses. But until then, this is the next best thing. And thank you so much for being a part of the prayer meeting tonight. You know, last week we started a new series entitled From Trouble to Triumph. And we're looking at James chapter 1. And we're seeing the things that God produces in our life through trials. And last week we saw this. We saw that we can have joy in the midst of trials. And it's a choice that you and I can make. James says this in James chapter 1 and verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That's an amazing statement. I mean, not only that we have a choice, but that our pain has a purpose. Yeah. And tonight we're going to continue on in verses 3-4, where James writes this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you encounter trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you might be mature and complete, listen to this, not lacking anything. So tonight we're going to look and talk about what trials produce in our life as the Lord is working in our life through trials. And to do that, we have a very special guest with us tonight. No stranger to James River, been a part of James River since I think 1993. But Hal and Dori Donaldson, such dear friends. And Hal, I just got to be honest with you. So admire you, leadership of, you know, you came here to be part of the Pentecostal Evangel, to be the editor. And then as you were doing that, you started Convoy of Hope, which is one of the great ministries in the country and the world today, feeding millions of people. And so thank you so much in the midst of your busy schedule that you would take time to be with us. My goodness, we are so grateful.
Well, we love you. We love you. I mean, you've been our pastors, and let me just say thank you for how you've brought calm and comfort to this pandemic. I mean, I know I'm speaking for thousands of people who have just found comfort from your words and your encouragement. And thank you for how you've just blessed so many people.
Well, thank you, Hal. Maybe before we jump into the text, I'd just like you to give us a little update on Convoy of Hope. You're feeding millions of people, and right now you're raising the money for that. James River's had the opportunity to be a part of giving towards that. Tell the people a little bit about this, because it's really powerful.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you face a crisis like this, you have an option. You can circle the wagons, or you can be compelled by the Spirit to go and to minister to people. And we really took that option. We said, God, this is our moment. And so we felt like the Lord shared with us that we should provide 10 million meals in a matter of weeks. And John, just to tell you, and Debbie, in just a matter of days, we will have achieved that goal of working through hundreds of churches to provide 10 million meals. And we've worked with James River during this time as well. And so we're going to go on to our next 10 million meals. And because the lines we're seeing, I mean, seriously, it's like 2 miles long, these distribution sites at churches. The line of cars is 2 miles long everywhere we're going.
And as you're processing that, does that take a step of faith for your team?
Oh, sure. Sure it does, because, you know, with Convoy, we don't budget for disasters. Yeah. You know, our motto has been, we're just going to go for it. And so this is no different. We're just going for it. It may cost us millions, but we're trusting God. He's going to bring those millions in. So just how we operate. But yeah, we're going to go for the next 10 million meals.
That is so fantastic. And the difference that makes for people, I mean, it's not only a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, it's a meal, it's food. And unless somebody's been there and not known where their next meal's coming from, they don't understand the impact of that. And so many people have lost their jobs during this pandemic. And, you know, for some of them, it's going to be a while before they get a job back.
It's true. I mean, I was talking to our senators just last week and that very thing that, you know, this is a ripple effect. People have lost their jobs. We may not really know the impact on our culture, our economy for a couple months, but during this time, people are really struggling. Children have lost their school lunches, which is a big deal.
Yeah. It is a big deal.
The elderly are suffering. So, you know, we're just going to get out there, stay busy, and help as many people as we can.
Yeah.
It's the church's moment. I mean, it's our moment to step up and say we love you and Jesus loves you too.
Yeah, we wouldn't wish this on anybody, but for the church, it is an opportunity to shine for the gospel and really be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I think I'm praying it leads to a revival, a third great awakening.
Amen to that. Let that happen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So anyway, we're talking about James chapter 1, and David had talked to you and said, hey, would you be interested to come on and talk with my mom and dad about, you know, some of your insight from James 1. And we've been talking about how God produces in our lives through trials a joy and a maturity, you know, and it comes through the testing of our faith. Yeah. Now, I know there are some people that are like, hey, I'm not a good test taker.
Yes.
How about you, Hal? Are you a good test taker?
No, not at all. Not at all. My teachers would tell you that. No, not good at all.
Well, most of us don't like tests. No. But, you know, the thing is, we don't have a choice on most trials that come into our life.
That's right.
Trials come whether we have chosen them or not, and they come in all shapes and sizes. You know, somebody could look at a person like you, Hal, and wonder, have you really had some big trials? And what have been some of the trials or tests that God has brought your way?
Yeah, you know my story. I mean, as a 12-year-old boy, my father was hit by a drunken driver and killed instantly. My mom was in the car, and my mom would suffer her entire life because of that accident.
Oh, my God.
And they didn't have insurance, and the man who hit them didn't have insurance, and so the family was forced to survive on welfare. And we really made it in large part because of generous and kind people like those who attend James River would come and bring bags of groceries to our door. And but, you know, as a young person, a teenager, you know, you don't have the nicest clothes, your cupboards are empty. Naturally, you ask the hard questions. Is God good? Did God allow this to happen for a reason? Is it just happenstance? Or is God evil? I mean, those are questions that I asked as a teenager, you know, and I came to the conclusion that God was good, that He's good.
Yeah.
And I think I arrived at that conclusion because of the kindness of people. I was able to connect the dots between the kindness of people and the kindness of God.
Wow,
experienced, that is powerful.
I experienced the shame of poverty, but also experienced the power of kindness. Without that kindness, I wouldn't be here today. And I don't think there would be a convoy of hope. And so I think I've lived out some of James, through many years of hardship.
Who do you, when you look back, who was kind to you and what were some of the things they did? Because I think really for people walking through this season right now, it's a great opportunity for them to hear, okay, if I do this, it could make a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was the little things though. When you're a kid, it's the little things. I'll give you one example. People would bring us to church on Sunday, and this one woman noticed that I had holes in my shoes. And back then, Kinney's Shoe Store offered three pairs of shoes. I don't know if you remember Kinney's.
I do.
But it was $2.99, $3.99, and $4.99, right? And I'd only known the $2.99 pair. It's all I'd been able to afford. And so, you know, she came up to us at church and she said, I want to give you a new pair of shoes. So we walk into Kinney's Shoes, and naturally I made a beeline to the $2.99 pair.
Wow.
But this day, she walked to the $4.99 pair and she said, Hal, today you're going to get the best that they have.
Wow.
Those things stick with you. You know,
they do.
They stick with you. People bringing groceries to our door, people who saw that, you know, we had holes in our jeans, and that's before it was cool to have holes in your jeans, you know what I mean? And but people would see that we really had needs, and they would respond. They did something. And it was their kindness that really showed me the kindness of God. And as a teenager, I decided that God was good. He was good. I didn't understand why this had happened, and I didn't, but somehow in my heart, I knew that He was good.
What do you say to somebody who says, you know, it's that why Yeah. Just not, why yeah. did God allow this to happen? So as you're trying to process that at that time, especially as a teenager, which yeah. I think that is doubly difficult.
Yeah.
What were some of the things that helped you?
Yeah, you know, I think I came to the realization as a young person that God was good because of the kindness of others. But that didn't prevent me from asking the hard questions. Mm-hmm. And I would just say today that people don't need to feel guilty for asking God the hard
so
question,
good.
Right?
Yes.
I think a lot of times though that we get paralyzed by unanswerable questions. Because they can't get answers to their questions today, it paralyzes them. And I think we have to come to the realization that there are some questions we won't have answered until we get to heaven.
Right.
And we have to be able to live with that.
Sure.
Because if we're not able to live with that, we're going to sit on our hands and we're going to be paralyzed. In our culture today, people need to know that we love them, that we care, and that we show that we love them and we care. And we offer tangible hope. And if we're just kind of bound in our own fears and our own unanswerable questions, we're not going to get busy. This is time to roll up our sleeves and get
yes.
busy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So good. So
well,
good.
You know, I mean, that is, you know, you've lived James 1. And that to me is so
yeah.
powerful and why I'm glad you're a part of this. And so,
you
know, when we look at James 1, one commentator said this, trials work for the believer, not against the believer. Mm. In James chapter 1 and verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. The New Living Translation puts it this way, your endurance has a chance to grow. You know, when you talk about growing, you talk about going through a trial. How do you see that? How do you see that growing your endurance?
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, I think over time too, you see how God has taken trials and He's brought good out of it. All things work together for good.
Right.
You know, maybe as a young person or a new Christian, you don't necessarily recognize that. But in time, time after time after time, God coming through. Times when you felt like you wanted to give up. If I could tell one story, in the early days of Convoy of Hope, Dory and I wanted to give up. We had been at it for about a year. We had maxed out our credit cards. We had done everything we thought we could. We were tired, ready to give up. And this is something I don't recommend that people do, but we gave God an ultimatum. We said, God, this outreach is coming up in 6 weeks. If you don't do something miraculous in 6 weeks, we're gonna quit and we'll pass the baton on to somebody else. Well, over those 6 weeks, nothing happened. And my doubts began to just climb, right? At that Fresno, California outreach, a man came up to me, a stranger came up to me, and he handed me an envelope. And inside was a check for $25,000.
Oh my goodness.
But there was a note in it that said, keep going, God is with you. And they had underlined the word is, God is with you. And you know, when you have those kind of experiences, you realize yeah. that God is who He says He is. And I just think a lot of people today they're on the verge of giving up. And maybe if I could give one word of encouragement,
so
yes,
don't give up.
Yeah
just
exactly.
keep trusting
yeah.
God. You know, I believe that God never said that following Jesus would be problem free.
Right.
He said that it would be, if anything, He said it would be a rhythm of hardship and miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Hardship followed by
yeah.
miracles. And a lot of times I think we cut short God's miracle by living in such a way that we want to get out of hardship at any cost. Sometimes God is asking us, as word says in James, persevere,
yeah. mm-hmm.
hang in there,
yeah.
and watch what God does.
Exactly.
That's so good. It reminds us of me of a time when we wanted to give up,
yeah.
you know? And I think sometimes people can look at leaders, pastors, those that they consider like they're far beyond me and with their spiritual walk with God and think, well, they never go through anything like that. But, you know, we've faced times when we wanted to give up. And I think that's such a good word, Hal, to just say, keep going, keep pressing. God is going to provide for you and give you what you need. And I love what you said about how God reveals Himself through the kindness of people. We're seeing that in the church.
Yes.
how people are being drawn to the church through this time. Yeah. They may never have been interested before in the things of God, but because of the kindness of people, the kindness of the church, it's opening their heart up to the gospel and to the church.
So true.
It is true.
Amen. Well, and part of it is, you know, God is in a journey to make us look like Jesus.
Yeah.
He wants us to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And, you know, I think as well, not only to not give up, but I think it's also important for people to be willing, if they have a walk with the Lord. There's some people who, you know, are at different places on the spectrum of discouragement or and all of us, you know, at times it can be a bit of a roller coaster. We can think we're up and then we find out we're down.
That's for sure.
Not quite as strong as we thought we were.
Exactly. That's right.
You know, one of the things I've noticed in this season that has been you know, on the one hand, it's a little bit disappointing for me personally, because you do find out where you're at in your faith. You do find out where at in your maturity. So last week when we're talking about consider it joy, I have to be honest, I have not considered hardly anything to be joyful. I mean, it's this time of confession.
You want to
say, I have perseverance.
So, you know, I mean, I'm like, I've not been happy about one thing related to this, because I keep thinking, I want my life back. I want to be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And you know, the uncertainty and the change, and really what this has done for us, it's just pushed us out of our comfort zone completely. And so you can rely. You can find yourself relying, getting used to things, being comfortable in things, and you're not aware of it, but you're relying on your own ability, your own comfort zone, and then all of a sudden that's gone, and now you're really reduced to relying on God, and it shows you where you're at. It shows you the depth of your faith. So it's been for me a very, it's been a very interesting journey, and I can see where the Lord has really shown me a lot about myself, and you know, you got to have some real come to Jesus moments and get a hold of yourself and say, come on, you big baby, you know, you need to look at it differently.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure it never happens to you.
Well, I mean, we don't want to waste this time. This is what I've been telling to our team. Let's not waste this time that God is giving to us. And, you know, when we look back on the pandemic and the crisis of 2020, you know, my prayer is that I'll not only talk about the economy and, you know, the hardship and the, you know, the fact that we've been reclusive, but I'll be able to say that it was during that time that I got closer to Jesus.
Yeah,
and that's what I've been challenging people to really do. And, you know, I do want to say this. I think it's in times like this, though, that we recognize the importance of a church family. Isn't it true?
Boy, it's so true.
Yeah, and,
so
and
true.
Like I said at the beginning, how you've been able to kind of coach us through, you know, those words have been so encouraging to so many people, and how, like, the James River family has reached out to one another. It's been a great reminder of how important the church family is.
It really is, you know, to be able to talk with people, as I've been calling people or had interaction with people, the opportunity it gives to not only encourage but to be encouraged and to build one another up, and you see the body of Christ doing what the body's meant to do. And because you're a Christian, you understand life from a different perspective, that there's a spiritual component that is so important, and I think the grace of the Lord on our lives, and we may not even realize how God is using us in that moment to encourage another person, and only to find out later they come back and say, you know, you called me, you said this, you did that, and it made such a difference in my life. And so I think all of us are benefiting from that in a big way.
Well, I think it slows you down in a way, even though as leaders we're working really hard to keep things moving. It does cause you to have deeper conversations with people, which that's really valuable. Reevaluate, you know, what's important.
I think for me too, I think I have a greater appreciation for civic officials, you know, people that are in healthcare. You know, I heard someone the other day who went out and bought hundreds of dollars worth of gift cards from local restaurants that are providing curbside service and just giving those to health professionals. And I thought, what a great idea,
you know,
stimulating the economy and helping those restaurants, but also helping the health professionals and the police officers. And you were just doing so much.
Yeah, I'm with you. As we've interviewed through our 21 Days of Prayer, had the opportunity to interview several different officials at different levels of the government. You just realize the burden that they're carrying.
Yeah.
And it's easy to sit back and second guess decisions. But when you're in that hot seat and you're making the decisions, there's a huge weight.
Yeah.
And you realize that the lives of people are at stake.
Isn't it? It's
you know,
true.
I mean, this is a life and death decision that they're making. So we've got to remember to pray for them to have wisdom.
We do really do.
For
really
sure.
Do. Heroes. You know, probably unsung heroes often, but we appreciate you very much.
Absolutely. It's so true. Let me ask you this. So to those who are very discouraged and feeling like giving up, you know, you say, hey, don't give up.
Yeah.
To those who are maybe just kind of, they're just saying, you know, I just wish this was over.
Yeah.
It's not so much that they're super discouraged. They're maybe more frustrated, truth be told, than they are discouraged.
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
Yeah, well, God is with you. I mean, first off, that's the most important thing. God is with you, and you have a lot of friends who are with you too. And don't be afraid to reach out to fellow Christians, followers of Jesus, and begin a conversation. You know, the worst thing you can do is just sit there by yourself and not letting anyone know how you feel. And I know I can speak for you, Debbie and John. James River is so caring. If you're really alone and you're hurting right now, pick up the phone and call James River.
Yes.
Absolutely.
They love you and they care for you.
We'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, so I mean, I think those are two things. And you know, for me personally, as I've had some frustrating moments I've once again, just diving into God's Word and spending time praying and being honest with God. I think honesty is really important right now. You know, this is not a time to candy coat things. Mm-hmm. This is tough. This is tough for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And just tell God how you're feeling. He can handle it.
Exactly.
He can handle it.
Exactly. Well, and it's a time to grow. And so that's what I really pray, that as you're watching tonight and you're listening to the wisdom that we're getting from this conversation with Hal, that you'll allow the Lord to speak to your heart, because that's exactly what he wants to do. And you know, as Hal mentioned just a few moments ago, one of the great tragedies would be to come out of this pandemic and not have grown in the Lord at all, to come out of this and not be any different, to come out of this and look back and say, I missed opportunity. Not only to grow personally, but to reach out to other people who right now, as we're going through this, they need encouragement. They would benefit from a phone call, a text, a card, a note, a contact. And the smallest things can mean way more than we can imagine. I want to encourage everybody who's watching tonight, who are you reaching out to? Not only people you know, but people that maybe you only know casually, your neighbors, checking on them, and just a simple act of kindness, whatever that might be, whether it's picking a bouquet of flowers out of your garden, I guess we're not quite there yet, but we will be soon, or whether it's, you know, taking something to them that you have and offering it to them. But being there for people can mean so much, and it's a great way to share the gospel. Well, Hal, thank you again
thank
for
you.
Being with us.
So
and
good.
What I'd like to ask you to do, if you wouldn't mind, is I'd like you to lead us in prayer, and if you would, pray for those who are watching church online tonight.
Yes,
would
do.
You do that?
Be thrilled. Lord, right now we pray for the gift of faith. Ephesians and 1 Corinthians tell us that faith is a gift. We don't have to muster it up. It's not a mental exercise. It's something you give us. So right now we collectively pray for the gift of faith.
Yes.
We pray for the miraculous. In the midst of this pandemic, will you once again, Lord, show us how much you love us, each one of us. There are those who are watching this tonight who are feeling alone, and they're discouraged, they're depressed, frustrated. Let them know, Lord, that you're with them. You are with them, and you're going to see them through this. On the other end of this, there is a great victory, and there are miracles along the way. We thank you for that, Lord. And for those, Lord, who have lost their jobs, who don't know what the future holds. Give them right now the gift of faith.
Yes.
Lord. Knowing, Lord, that you are going before them, that that next job is waiting just for them. It has their name on it. We thank you for that, Lord. And then for each one of us, help us to look for ways to reach out to people who are in need right now, who just need to know that someone cares.
Yeah.
And then I just thank you again for James River. Lord, just I continue to ask you, Lord, will you just do the miraculous for this church?
Yes.
And for those that are watching online right now that maybe don't have a church home, I pray, Lord, that you'll just remind them how important a church family is.
Yes.
We love you and we're grateful.
Thank you.
We're grateful that we don't have to go through a pandemic without you. In your precious name, amen.